Jam. Hey everybody, welcome to the Soul Savvy Show, with your host, E.B., Eric in Black, and the one and only Q Lynn Green. Hey y'all, how you doing?
Hey, Will.
Hey man, what's going on?
Trying to make it.
Hey, what's going on?
Everything's going on, man. That's still a jam, you know? That is still a jam. Y'all girls and people, don't stop the music. Hey, look, I've been looking forward to this show. I'm sure it's going to be a great one.
It is. It's going to be a great show. We're supposed to be having a whole lot of people on. It's so much going on. We got, before he gets on, do a little bit of updates. EB, what you been got going on, man? Whatever you got going on, you've been doing a whole lot. I've been seeing all your posts on social media. You had a whole lot of stuff. You had a long week. I know you said you had to move and all that stuff last weekend. Mm-hmm. What you been up to?
You've been holding out, EB. EB, you've been holding out.
Nah. I'm moving tomorrow, so. It's been a long week trying to pack and get everything straight. But I'm good. I'm still making it. I'm making it, though. One more day.
Q-Lynn, I think he's holding back. He has something going on. Yeah, okay.
Right.
He's been moonlighting. He's been...
Right.
Not at all.
Moonlighting as a Uber driver and all that stuff. I know you got, you know, multiple shifts you got to get to and all that, but man, we got so many people coming on. I was trying to get on. I was literally on Facebook Live a minute ago and I was trying to, because I wanted to promote these projects that I saw. I was kind of rushing off and I might get back on there. It depends on how we set up. Because I had somebody drive me here to the studio because I had a whole bunch of stuff going on. I was like, let's get our food, let me get my drinks, get my other extracurricular stuff I got going on over here. So hopefully all this don't kick in all simultaneously while we're doing the show. It might happen.
She has a driver. EB, she has a driver now.
It's going to be crazy.
She has a driver.
What?
Uh-huh.
Man.
So who's holding out? I don't know,
EB.
I
got a driver. Oh, man. And then our special guest that's on, Julie. I'm waiting on, this is our live radio, y'all, so we trying to get everything situated. But Julie, what's up, Julie? I know we got some more guests coming on later during the show, but what you been up to, Julie?
Oh, my gosh, it's been the longest week ever. I'm just, I'm done. Like, I'm tired.
Oh, man. It was a long work week.
Yeah, these damn students, you know, after midterm, everybody care about their academics, you know how that goes, so.
Right.
So I've been having extra office hours this week. I'm tired.
Woo! I know that's right. Dealing with, what grades do you teach?
Oh, I teach college, so I have.
Oh, you teach college. I'm thinking you do, still high school. I was like, I know that's
a
little bit of high school teachers. But college, is it about the same, or is it like today more
it's
civil?
It's worse because at least in high school they have books, right? You know, because they're furnished in high school. But in college,
right.
You know, try to get around not buying books. And yeah, so I had students who've been in my class all semester, and until they got their midterm grade, they hadn't had a book. So now they're like wanting to be the number one student, want to come to my office every day.
Right.
Go read. Leave me alone.
Evie, what was it? Well, we were going to talk about something, but I think we should wait till after we get through, because I saw one of your posts, but I kind of skipped past it a little bit. I was going to talk about it a little bit, but I was going to say, make a correction on myself or something, because I know when we did those 90s movies, I was like really like going in on this movie called Half Plenty.
Oh, yeah.
And I was mostly doing it because I think it was because I don't like Hill Harper. I don't know what it is. I'll probably find out what movie or TV show he was on to where I didn't like him. And then it's like anything he's in, I don't like him. And then it was just strictly all of his scenes I think I had seen back then and I didn't like the movie. But it's actually a good movie. I actually liked it. It was
one of my favorites.
Pretty good. Yeah, I definitely got to, like, make a correction, because I was definitely just making jokes. I just wanted to make some Hale Harper jokes, because he's just, like, I hate all of his movies. I haven't seen one movie in that I liked of his, but this one, I actually like. So, I don't know. It might change, but I'm not sure. But, yeah,
yeah, I mean,
that's
why
I wanted to make that correction.
I'm not a big Hale Harper fan either. Even in that movie, like, he was trash, pretty much. But it's one of my favorite movies, man. Shanoa Maxwell, I can't even say her name correctly. That's my girl.
Shanoa Maxwell. Isn't she, wasn't she part of some reality show or something?
I don't know. Was she? I don't remember that. But it's possible.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Ooh, I don't know. But yeah, I'm trying to see what's going on. Okay, we're going to keep going, because I have no idea what's going on. But, I'm all over the place right now. I got my notes. I had everything written down, and I'm trying to find them because I don't know where to go from here.
I'd like to know, when are we going to address this?
I know what I could do. I could plug this, what I was doing, just in case they pop up again. There was some events going on in Oklahoma City. I'm in Texas right now, so I didn't have time. I was wanting to go to this, but all of these were at like 8 and 9 o'clock. And I'm not driving, so I'm like, if I'm not going that way, I'm not going. But just to promote these different things that's going on in Oklahoma City, it's a music box. You know, Cookie. You remember Cookie that came on the show? She's back in Oklahoma City now. She's doing a show. It's called a Music Box Concert, and it's featuring, we gotta get them on, Adam and Kizzy. It's a duet. They're, you know, like Kendrick the Family Soul, like a married couple, like a singing couple.
Right.
Really cool. And Marcellus Coleman, Cookie Turner, Tony Foster Jr., Thaddeus Johnson, Cam, Sean C. Johnson. These are the people listed to perform. It's at, if you're listening in from Oklahoma City, you can still buy tickets at the door. I think it's $12. And it's at the Douglas Event Space in Oklahoma City at 600 North High. I think the doors open at 8 Central Time. And then the show starts from it says from 8 to 11. So, I'll go with that, 8 to 11 p.m. And, yeah, by the time I was thinking about going across, but I was like, nah, because, you know, by the time I get there, it's already going to be over with, because it's like 2 hours from, I'm 2 hours from Oklahoma City. But I just wanted to promote that because I actually wanted to go to it. And then also the Ice Event Center. Macko, he's been on the show before as well. He's opening for this comedian that's headlining. His name is called Malik S. You could probably Google him if you know who that is. But also at the in Oklahoma City's Ice Event Center, I think, I don't know for sure if the tickets are sold out, but I think you can get some at the event as well. I think there's some of them run from $10 to $15. I'm not specific on that, but yeah, it's called Funny as F Fridays, and we also trying to get the owner on. I probably got to go there and do the show because he's like mad busy. Like Friday is his big event day. He has different comedians on. He's had all kinds. He's had Coco Brown. He's had, what's her name, Jess from Wildin' Out. He's had a lot of different comedians from Wildin' Out go there, and then all kind of stuff. So, I just want to promote those because those are some really great people that run those events. It's like really black-owned events and stuff in Oklahoma City. So all people in Oklahoma City, if you ain't got nothing to do, check out those shows. I was making sure I had enough time. We have enough time to talk about it. We have a whole lot. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, so we're just going to keep going. I guess what we can do is I ask, how was y'all week? Julie or Evie, whoever wants to go first.
Long. it was a long week. For some reason this week I don't feel like I got enough sleep or I had enough hours in the day to do everything that I was supposed to do on every day. It's been like running back to back every day. So, but I'm not complaining because I'm still grinding.
Yeah,
I'm not just
saying.
Oh,
go ahead.
Just like long week. I had me getting in rest, but last night I got on my knees and I prayed. I said, God, you know, just let me get some rest tonight and wake up and have a fresh day. So today was a fresh day, you know. But, yeah, it's been a long week. But it's the weekend. I got big plans for the weekend, so it's all good. That's good. Get a break from how many? Oh, I'm always interested. We don't even know we had a. I want to ask you some questions now. I want to ask, like, was it as a professor? Like, I know I'm just thinking back when I was in college. Like, do you give out a lot of like research papers and stuff to your students?
Not a lot of research papers, because I don't want to read all that shit, right? So my larger courses, my larger classes, you know, I just make sure they get the material. So I lecture. I lecture really heavy. Some of them think that I don't lecture from the book because I'm not, like, thumbing through the book as I'm talking. But those are just people who don't read the book, right? So, I'm a big lecturer. You know, I bring a lot of social media and current events into the classroom so that they can see how political science is everywhere. But in terms of papers, just my smaller classes, or if it's required by the university a certain type of paper, then I do it. I'm be trying to write, have them write all those papers. I did that last semester, and that shit wore me out. So, no, never again.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about it. Like, you're right.
Got like 200 students. That's 200 papers you got to read.
Right.
No.
You're like, no, I'm not doing this. I'd be happy to be here. I used to hate doing research. I didn't really hate it. It was just that classes I didn't think needed research papers. Like, why I need research papers in science? Like, I mean, we're not doing anything specific. It was just like just freshman science. I just thought it was unnecessary. Like some of these, to write like long ass like essays and stuff. I'm like, it's not necessary. It's like, there's no way I can describe to you a neutron and all that stuff. Like, who cares about that? Like, you seriously go sit and read that? It was just all
now,
so like that.
I require a lot of writing because a lot of these kids can't write. It's not like 20 years ago when we finished, you know, if you finished high school in the 90s versus in the 2000s, the teachers on Twitter all day long, and Instagram getting likes. So no one's teaching anything. So then they come to college thinking they smart because they in college, and they can't even, some of them can't even write a sentence. Or you say, write me a one paragraph statement on what we went over, and they don't know what a paragraph is. You know, they don't know 5 to 7 sentences. They write 2-3 lines and like, man, that's your paragraph. So
wow.
It's crazy. I have students who I can tell all they do is social media based on how they spell. It's crazy. So like, they get mad at me because the only time you get multiple choice in my class is the final exam. All my quizzes and my midterm are fill in the blank because I want you to know that you know the answer. Not be taking these wild ass guesses. It makes them mad. I give them those study skills they need, so when they go to other classes, you know, they're successful because I've taught them more than just a little science.
Right. I guess trying to look up some updates since we got time. Do savvy updates real quick. And I'm pulling up the email from last week. And actually, you remember the listener, J.B. Rock, he actually responded back to that show that you were on. And he said that, first off, he said it wasn't him that said that about Tiffany, that he was asking who's single. I still haven't, I didn't have time to look up if that was true or not. So that's still up for debate because I still think it was him that said it. But I could be wrong. But I'm responding back to him. He said that that wasn't him that said that about Tiffany. But he said, but I'm not down for the marriage or death part. He's like, he said, I'm solid on that. So he ain't looking for marriage or death. So he passed. He said, I pass on that. Oh, marriage or death. He's like, he said, I'm solid. I'm like, he's a Chicago cat for real. Like, they always say it like, they got like different slang. I'm like, I know he's from Chicago because there's an old one too. He,
Well, he don't see. I think his email here says 82. I think he's born in 1982. Because that's what it says on. He's born in 82. So what is that? What is he? Oh, he's 35. What is that? 35.
He's in high school. He probably finished high school in 82. That's probably that Instagram that be showing.
It says,
Right.
See, you missed the chance, JB. You could have had it all. You could have married the boat, but he said he good on that. So that was I was responding to that, and then also.
Good on you, Scotty. I'm good on you. Too. I like the southern.
He said he's eligible. He said he.
Country girl.
It was hilarious. I'm trying to find out some more emails. Let me pull up. Give me just like 5 seconds, because. I had to refresh it. Let me see. I'm going to get a recent one. This was recent from last week. It was asking, we can answer this one. Well, I'll answer mine because I don't know how EB, I didn't ever really ask EB, like, how, if he go to church regularly or not. But people were asking that because we were going in so hard on, like, Tina Campbell and them. And we were saying, if y'all thought that was going hard, then y'all need to hear other people's shows that be going in, because we went really lightweight compared, and I didn't even use cuss words, I didn't call nobody out their name or none of that, I was giving the respect, so it wasn't even that deep, but
how about that? I want
to talk that. About
I just want to add my she need counseling.
Yeah, she does, she definitely does. Tina Campbell or both of them, I think they're talking about Tina and Chrisette. They had issues with that and Tyrese, but that's a whole nother subject.
Oh, can we talk about it for like 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So, Tina Campbell needs counseling because she has low self-esteem. She don't have the faith that she sings about, because if she did, she would not stay in that relationship with Teddy and keep going through that foolishness, letting him put her body at risk. She's highly emotional. It's like, baby girl. If you're going to pray, if you're going to sing about praise and prayer, you need to do it. So let your worship be real through your actions. That's Tina. Chrisette is hungry for attention. She'll do whatever for attention. She knew good and damn well. Going to sing for Donald Trump was out of line. She's been around long time. Is she from New York? Where's she from?
Yeah, I think she's from Long Island somewhere.
Okay, so she should know about the Central Park Five and how he took out that big-ass ad. Or about all the foolishness he did with not wanting to, when he was sued about his properties, not wanting to let minorities live in his buildings. So boo to her for being ignorant, because that's what she is. That means she was aware, but she ignored it for the check. So boo to Chrisette Patel. She really crazy and needs some counseling. I ain't saying crazy to put her down, but she needs some counseling, because when she made that Instagram post about having a miscarriage and all that, and then use somebody else's picture. Oh, my gosh, because I was not ready when I slid my finger to the left, and I saw that picture of what was a miscarried fetus. That was too much, you know, no warning or anything. That was too much. So that's somebody who's hungry for attention, who needs some counseling. And Tyrese, he right there with them. They all need to go see. What's the guy? What's the doctor name who's on MTV? Dr. Drew? That's his name?
Dr. Drew, yeah.
They need to go see Dr. Drew. They need to go see somebody, granny, who's going to cuss them out, get them love and feed them, and probably might even whip them.
I don't know.
But they
might not need to be fed.
It's like they miss some hugs somewhere along the way. I don't know. It's sad. It's scary, and it's sad because then you have impressionable people who just is thrown off, who watch that and think it's okay. It's okay to act like that, and it's not. Because I was ready to fight Chrisette for that picture. Like, for real, for real.
Right.
Like, who the hell does that? Like, she really...
I'm glad I didn't see it.
Yeah, be glad you didn't see it. It was, like, disgusting. I'm like, now, oh my gosh, who does that? So my mind stopped working through it all. Like, did she scoop it out? Before I knew it wasn't her actual picture, I was like, did she scoop it out the toilet and dry it off and put it on this? It was just too much. Like, who does that? So I wanted to fight her for that. I wanted to fight her for that more than I wanted to fight her for singing at the inauguration. So,
right. I just think it's weird how, like, she came to this conclusion that she was wrong. And you know what? It was all her doing. She can't even blame it on whoever. Because she said, like, people was asking her, I forgot what interview I was watching, but they asked her, like, did somebody advise you? Did somebody drop the ball? And she was like, no, I ignored it. So you were just blatantly, like, being stubborn and was like, I'm going to do this. Because I'm trying to be a revolutionary with this Basquiat skirt. Like, this is really going to, like, no. Like, that's, I'm trying to figure out how she thought it was going to, like, go over well with people. And it's like I said before, I was like, all of that is, like, a bunch of propaganda. Now she's, like, creating all these Black Lives Matter, Black Girl Magic songs. And all that,
trying to get
sympathy. I mean, not saying that's a bad thing, you know, for her, if she had a miscarriage. Like you said, if that's real, I didn't know if it was real or not. That's why I never said anything about those. Because I remember hearing about that those pictures, that miscarriage picture, I mean, whatever that was, she had a picture of was fake because I didn't really research. I didn't really care that much to get into it. But either way, like, to go that far, it wasn't that deep for me, but to... If it did cause her stress, I feel like it was unnecessary stress because you could have, like, completely avoided that. What the issue was and what got people alienated from you was the fact that you were kept backpedaling, just like with Tina Campbell. Like, nobody's bullying these people. And for her to make that whole statement on Twitter or wherever on social media, she said that, none of that was bullying. You just simply was backpedaling and people was calling you out on it, like we said the other week. So... it didn't make any sense for you to do that. And just like with Tyrese, all these people caping for him, saying he's a good father. How do you know he's a good father? Like, that drives me crazy. Like, people create these things saying the Black father and all this other, you know, trying to put emphasis on that when it's all bullshit to me. It's just, you have no idea what this guy does, what his family life is to make these assumptions. And the simple fact that he's had multiple chances to see his daughter and he hasn't taken up any of them, and it's actually... been told, I guess been presented, I guess it, documented evidence from him not being there and then taking trips to wherever he went to, you know, to keep from seeing his daughter. All of these is a narcissist. Like I said, Amanda Seales said he's a narcissist and that's what he is. Like, he made that whole situation about himself. So like I said before, didn't nobody say anything after he had multiple chances to see his daughter and he passed up on that. So that's a good father. To the path of having quality time, he'd rather go somewhere else. But that's everybody, you know, being loud wrong as usual. So I just thought it was funny. I was ready to cuss everybody out for those emails. Because we got those emails. I think I read one of them talking about Tina Campbell. And I think some of them, like I was saying before, I guess we can answer this one email somebody sent me. I'm trying to see. I think it was Lalia. I think, I hope I pronounced her name right. She needs to... because she comments on the website all the time. Lalia, I think it's either Lalia or Lalia. Tell me if I'm saying it right, but I'd go with Lalia because it sounds like that's how it's supposed to be pronounced. But Lalia asked, do we believe in God? Because she didn't say atheist. She just said, do we believe in God? I guess, do we go to church? You go ahead, EB, if you want to, and answer it.
Oh, no, I don't go to church.
He is.
Church is a no-no for me.
He is a temple. We all lie.
Right.
And I go to church every Sunday, not every Sunday, but most Wednesdays and most Sundays I'm in there, but we are the church. And that's the thing I hate people trying to do when they try to come at you. Do you even go to church? Nigga, I am the church. You read your Bible.
Right.
Because if you do, you would say, oh, I goes off. So please make an email to me, sweetheart. Yes,
because
we can go on that.
Yeah, I believe in God. I don't go to church either. And I got my own reasons for not going, but I think it's all he's doing his tune up. I need to get an organ so I can tune up for EB. And he's going there. Scandalous. There we go. That's my church music right there. But yeah, I stopped going. I haven't been to church really, consistently in like 3 years. Mostly because I was traveling, but that ain't no excuse because I was going to different churches wherever city I was in, so it wasn't no big deal. I just think for me, I'm just past that point of feeling like, I feel like I'm in a really good spiritual place to where I don't have to go every Sunday. And that, cause that's what I did. I played in church for like 6 years straight. When I was starting out playing gospel music in church, I went like 6 years straight. But then I was still, I feel like you get so, it was a good time for me, like spiritually, and I was learning different things, but then I was adding different, methods of, faith into what I was doing while I was going to church. Like, I think I've been studying religion as much as I've been studying music, and so for like 10 years, so I was just like, I just would like analyze, like, what got me back going to church was just really analyzing different faiths, but I believe it's just that, to me, I don't feel like you have to physically be in a building. I feel like church is just for a congregation and just to fellowship with people, but I feel like the intention of church gets lost with being, like, practicing, being religiously there instead of actually being there to learn something and being a service. Because I feel like that's the main thing with the Bible. People misinterpret. I feel like, to me, just from learning things and just get my own observation of the Bible, I feel like if you're not fluent in Hebrew or Greek, you'll never know in, like, totality what it is. And I don't think the Bible or anything related to the Bible was meant to be a literal translation, and I feel like churches spend too much time with traditionalism, whatever denomination they spend. Yeah, and I just feel like they spend too much time about traditionalism instead of actually being of service and creating programs for kids and students to learn stuff and create different trades. I feel like it's too much money being put in church to where that can't, like, resurface. Not to sound like Hotepers, because there's, like, their intention is way different. What I'm talking about is in terms of, like, learning and being of service and creating places. Because I know it's churches out there. I'm not saying that. Because I've had Pastor Dan on, and we were talking about it. And I was saying the same things I'm saying now. I said to him, and he pastors a non-denominational church, and he doesn't attribute any of the traditional values that's in Kojic, whether you're Baptist or whatever. He doesn't instill any of that, and that's what I like. And churches that, because there's one church I went to in Oklahoma City, they actually, when service was going on, they had, like, homeless people would come in through a fellowship hall, wherever they had, that they would have, like, homeless people coming in and serving food while service is going on. And I like going to churches like that. I have to feel like I have to be connected that way. I'm, like, beyond that point of, like, listening to somebody speak, like, every Sunday. Like, I feel like a pastor is just a motivational speaker, like, to give you that morale fuel throughout the week, and I don't need that because, you know, I get my inspiration from everywhere. But, yeah, the long story short, I believe in God. I just don't believe in the term, I guess. So I just don't like religious people. I don't like, you know, people that have a saying church terms for everything, like, you know, God's favor and all this other stuff. I don't like all that because it's just too much. And I feel like I feel like God is in everything in the Jewish faith, Hinduism, Buddhism and, all those different faiths, Muslims. Cause I get, like, I'm gonna ask you about, right. I almost said Baduism. That's what, Erica Baduism, that's what the faith
I mean, I had at least read about it.
What's up, Shaka? We got Shaka on, y'all. He's back like, I was about to say something else, but that was kind of tacky to say.
Crack.
Yeah, back like cook crack, that's what I was gonna say. Well, yeah, Pishaka, yeah. we got some updates for you too. It was, somebody asked, I think his name, Jersey City, I pulled up earlier one week, and he was asking about, you had mentioned Mayhem, and he was wanting us to tell him who that was, and I was like, I had to think back, and I just Googled it, and it was Mayhem Moore, but didn't you say that was one of your favorite rappers when you were on?
Yeah, that's one, he drops, you know, consistently enjoyable projects. You know what I'm saying? If you like that kind of edge to your rap, like you like that New York, you know, chain snatch rap, like that's the kind of stuff that he puts out. You know what I mean?
Well, you hipped him to it because he, Jersey City, that's what his name was. He said I could call him Jersey City. He said you hipped him to it. So he looked it up and I think he hasn't sent me an update yet if he liked it, but he said he was going to look it up.
Yeah, it's dope. I mean, yeah. I haven't hit me on, if you're listening, you know, hit me on Twitter, MF_dad, and let me know what you thought. You know what I'm saying? The newest joint was Gems from the Equinox. That was his new, I should have just dropped his new, you know, his new, the title of his new joint. But, yeah, he's, you know, and he's a good dude as well. So, you know, all the interactions I've had with him before, you know, regarding his work, you know, he's real gracious, real good to his fans. So, Mayhem Loren, check it out.
I gotta check that out too. Didn't he just drop something recently?
Yeah, it's Gems from the Equinox. It's a mixtape, and it features, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a mixtape. It's kind of just a, it's just a project with he and, DJ Muggs, who's a DJ for Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
So
speaking
it's,
of,
yeah, real boom bap.
You just, I know we're not doing Savvy News. I was gonna say this real quick. Speaking of, Ice Cube just, celebrate the Predator album. It came out in 1990, this date in 1992. I thought it came out in 93, but I got my dates mixed up. But it's the 25th anniversary of the Predator, and actually my favorite song from there is called We Had to Tear This. I can't say it because we're on the radio, but We Had to Tear This Mother. Y'all know what it is. We Had to Tear This Mother. That's one of my favorite songs on there, and it's actually produced by DJ Muggs. So shout outs to Ice Cube. And then also, I think it was ODB's birthday yesterday, so rest on to him. He's one of my favorite rappers, period, but he's my favorite in Wu-Tang Clan. Shout
yeah,
out
I've
to
been,
that.
I've been on my Wu tip lately, and yeah, ODB.
Woo! Yes. But yeah, The Predator, that's my favorite. I think that's the one with Today Was a Good Day was on, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Today Was a Good Day was on the Predator album.
Oh, I mean, Ice Cube Predator. I'm thinking about the movie soundtrack or something. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no.
I didn't catch that one. I'm going to have to catch that one on the
I thought I said it. I was like, Ice Cube. I think I said it fast because I told you I'm doing some extracurricular activities, so my tongue is a little loose right now. So that's a whole other story, though. Yes, all different kind of extracurricular activities going on right now. My eyes look like four squares. So it's whole different.
I'm not gonna catch that one.
But yeah, the Predator album, yeah, and we can go to break. If Will's ready, we go to break and hit y'all with the back to back. Playing 80s R&B. I was gonna play a little hip hop in there, but I wasn't feeling hip hop. I was feeling some 80s R&B, like some cassette tape music. That's what I was feeling like listening to. So. And Will's ready. We get into these back-to-back gems.
Girl, I'm in love with you.
The Mary Jane's Girls, All Night Long. And before that, Bernard Wright, Who Do You Love? Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show and EB and Q Lynn Green.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Mary Jane.
Yeah, I was just trying to adjust my eyes real quick, trying to focus. trying to focus real quick. Shout out to Green Girl West. That's all I got to say. Oh my God, I'm about to, let's see. Yes, we're going to move on to the show. We got two topics we're going to talk about. We talk about Houston rappers first. And we'll let Julie, start this off since we've been trying to do this, the past two times she's been on and we keep forgetting every time. So if you want to start this off, Julie, and list your favorite Houston rappers. I think I only got three. And that's it, but. Y'all can all jump in and say after Julie sets the president. You go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking not so much just the rappers, but like when you think of Houston music, like I'm not a Houstonian. Well, I'm a Houstonian now, but I'm a Florida girl. So I grew up on blues music, not chopped and screwed. But like, do you think of Houston music? What do you all think of? Like, what comes to mind? Because, like, when people move here, I tell them, like, if I know somebody that's moved to Houston, I'm like, okay, you need to learn this song, and this song. Otherwise, you're going to look a damn fool in the club when it comes on because you're not going to know it if you don't know it already. So, like, what songs do y'all think of when you think Houston? Anybody?
I mean, I'm everything. Everything for me is, like, rap and chopped and screwed, so it's like Archie Lee and Swisher House and Chamillionaire, Lil Flip, like, you know, that
yeah.
era of musicians and rappers coming out of Houston. That's the first thing I think of.
The early 2000s. Okay.
Right.
All right. And for me, of course, through, I think, I guess in terms of production, I think through Watts, you can't not think Watts because he put his hand on a lot of stuff. And of course, Lee. And then like today, my favorite DJ in the city is DJ Mr. Rogers. And like me, he's not a Houstonian, but the niggas, he jams, you know what I'm saying? But in terms of production, like he's producing a lot for a lot of artists. From Future to local artists, he's doing his thing. He's like a silent little killer. And then like, I guess song-wise, songs that resonates with me the most, because I remember where I was the first time I heard it would be Southside, because I was actually in college when it came out. And I remember, these kids from Louisiana and Texas, they were a crew. And, you know, they just were adamant about us hearing this song. And, like, I love Southside. And every city in the South got a Southside. So it kind of bumped, you know. And now I'm like, the artist, Lil Kiki, he's family to me now. But, yeah, so definitely Southside. I think the first Houston song that I memorized, though, was Just a Dog by Big Mo. Like, I just love it. It's like, if you've been to Houston, it kind of gives you a visual of the city because you're, like, going to different places that you're going in the song. So those two would be my two songs when I think of Houston. Like, if I never live here again, I'll never forget those two songs.
Who's your shot
for me? For me, I'm not even 100% sure about where this person's from, but I don't know if y'all remember Lil Troy.
Yes,
I do. Yeah.
From Houston?
He's from Houston.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, all right, I got it. First song I think of is
Wanna Be a Baller. Wanna Be a Baller. Yeah.
That was my joint in high school, like that one. Let's see, what else did I like back then? I mean, yeah, Lil Kiki, I think of him, of course.
you know, Scarface, Ghetto Boys.
Scarface,
yeah. I just don't have, it's interesting, cause I'm learning a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna check out that Big Mo song and everything, and I realize that there's like a gap in my knowledge, like, I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna know every city, obviously, I'm not trying to be any kind of expert, but I'm like, man, if I focus just on one city, instead of saying, okay, Southern rappers, and I just put them all in one category, because I'm not from there. But right. down there, I'm sure there's like a lot big difference between, okay, this person's from my city and he's telling my story versus, you know, this person is just a Southern rapper who talks in a similar way or whatever. But being from somewhere else, I'm just like, oh, the Southern rapper. But, you know, but I do love Southern rap. You know what I mean? And, Wanna Be a Baller is just the first one that popped into my mind when I was thinking of Houston. And
I don't know if I was in middle school or what when that song came out, but I remember, like, every boy in class would beat on their desk with a pencil. I'm like, that beat don't go that hard for you to be doing that. But, yeah, I remember that song. It just takes you back to... You said, I think one rapper that reminds me of Houston is... I gotta say, is Pimp C from Houston?
No.
I just think of UGK when I think of Houston.
Yeah, so we say UGK.
UGK from Port Arthur.
Port Arthur.
Port Arthur, right.
Is like the base.
Well, then I have to go with Scarface. I think Scarface. It was either UGK or Scarface. That's usually what I think of.
Face.
When I think of. And then Lil Flip. I know that's crazy, right? We ain't mentioned that name since people using flip phones consistently. I know it's a funny joke now, but Lil Foot was actually like that dude, like back in the day. Like even way before he got on, like on a mainstream level, I guess when Houston rappers are really popular. But I'm talking about in terms of like mixtapes, as I remember in Oklahoma City, like the main ones that would get through there, we would get like Chicago, like being Midwest, you get like Chicago rap, we got Chicago rap, we got Houston rap, Dallas rap, we got, especially Bay Area, like, Spice One and Mac Dre. Mac Dre was really popping in Oklahoma City, like, his music was
There's a big connection between the Bay and the South. Back when I was in high school, there was something, I think it was high school, maybe middle school, I'm not sure, but, a compilation called Southwest Riders, and, that was put out by Sick Witted Records, I think, by, E-40 and them, and then they just had, like, hella songs with like Master P, there was 3-6 Mafia, UGK was on it, and then there was Bay Area rappers up here too, so they had WC from LA, like they had hella people on that album, and it just kind of all blended, and it was just like you realize like how much the similarities are between like what we like to hear up here and what folks like to hear down south too.
Yeah. Right, and with Lil Flip, I remember him specifically, like, their mixtapes, I remember, like, back in the day, they were really popping, and I remember Lil Flip, and I think Mike Jones was always, like, even though, you know, nobody knows who he is now, but Mike Jones and Lil Flip were, like, really, right, exactly, they were, like, really big in the mixtape game, like, everybody had their mixtapes, like, actual, like, cassette tapes, I remember, like, Lil Flip. He would, like, the big thing with him was, like, his freestyles. Like, sort of how, like, Drake got on with doing so many of those and doing them long-ass mixtapes. Like, Lil Flip sort of was, like, similar with that in terms of, like, success. Right. And I think one song I remember I had on cassette tape when he did the freestyle over a Dina Howard T-shirt and pants. I know, right? I'm telling my age. Wow. But I remember that mixtape where he did that freestyle, and it was actually, like, Lil Flip. You know, we kind of that dude a little bit. When I think of Houston rap, I think of him. Even though I don't think he has like a classic song that I would like listen to today, like that was, I think that was good for what it was like then. I don't think it would like play good now. Like it ain't like I'm sitting here listening to Lil Flip music. No, that ain't happening. Like I'm not doing that. But I think just for that time period, it was good. But yeah, I can't think of it. But I remember that emergence of Houston rap, like, what was it, early 2000s, like Mike Jones, Paul Wall, all those cats, like,
right.
I remember that was, like, a big deal.
So they were all early 2000s. So, yeah, Mike Jones, Slim Thug, what's his name, Flip, Chamillionaire, I love him, Chamillionaire.
Big Pokey. Big Pokey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so he used to have a very large, like, you could go platinum right here in the city, like, honestly and truthfully, like, just the region alone, if you do it right. So they do well, as long as they're not concerned with being a global artist, right? But music here, I don't know, like, I always feel good about it. Like, it's sometimes like I can listen to, like when I went to school, I wasn't far from Atlanta. I can't listen to Atlanta music all day. It's weird. Like I can
listen to any one thing all day.
You know, but like Houston music, you know, I can roll with it a little bit. I think it's because all the sounds aren't the same, you know.
Right. Did y'all like that DJ Screw there?
Huh? Screw?
Did y'all like that DJ Screw stuff? Like, I know that was a big deal, but I didn't really like it like that. It was like a couple songs I liked, but I wasn't really into it like that.
Well, you know, I put that down slowly like, this is for y'all.
Yeah. Right, I'm like, I'm already extra high, so I don't need to anything else.
Fascinating to hear like that nuance and that ability to take something, you know, it's like, you know, hip hop was originated off sampling. So to have somebody take that and then do that again, you know what I'm saying? And to have it like,
right,
you know, kind of like tie-dyed and restructured and all that stuff into something new. That was cool. I mean, I don't want to hear it though. Like it was, just wasn't for me. It's not a knock against it. It is its own art form in itself. And kind of a phenomenon, really, in rap. But I personally wasn't into it, but I heard he's true.
He, like, you know, yesterday was the 17th anniversary of his death, and it's like, what more would he have done? You know, like, cause they have all kind of days for him. There's Screw Shop. It's a genre of rap called Screw, you know, like, so... Mm-hmm. I should say a subgenre, right?
Still make it?
But it's like, I always wonder, like, what would he have done next? Like, what was there to come? Because, you know, they call him, like, the godfather and all that, you know? I always wonder, like, what would he have done next? And I asked people who, like, knew him, not just knew of him, but I asked them, you know, I asked 50 million questions. You know, because I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by, you know, because I didn't grow up on this. Like, this is not what we listen to in Florida. If it wasn't Luke or Tempe Tony, you know, like, or Trick as I got older, it was just different for me. I'm Buddha Music Girl, like, all day long. But, like, the new, what was I going to say was, you were talking about a compilation. That was like the South and the Bay Area.
Yeah, Southwest Riders.
Right. So what I was going to tell you is West Fest is tomorrow. So I'm going to this concert tomorrow, and it's Q, Scarface, Kiki, Bun B, The Dog Pound, K-Quick. I can't say E-40. I can't remember if E-40 is coming or not. But it's almost that same type of thing, but it's a tour they're doing, and so it's here tomorrow night, so I'm really excited about that. So let's talk about it tonight. I'm kind of extra excited for tomorrow.
Nice.
I don't know if this is a group. I think it was a group. I just remember the cassette tape saying Rec Shop, but was Rec Shop a Houston group? Am I getting it mixed up with something? Rec Shop. I thought it was a group.
I think that's like a producer.
It was so long ago, I can't remember.
Again, I'm not a Houstonian to that extent.
So,
I was going to ask, like, what new, when I say new, like the past 2 or 3 years out of Houston, if anything, did you all like? Besides Eric's favorite lemonade.
I mean, y'all know I'm an R&B dude, so not a lot of hip hop. I'm
hip-hop, like, I'm, as y'all talking, I'm taking notes, I'm learning. I mean, in terms of R&B, I mean, it's only like a handful of singers I know who come out of there. Kelly Rowland, Solange, Latavia, Latoya, and Yolanda Adams. You know, those are the only ones I know that come from Houston, only ones I care to listen to. I think Solange has a sister who makes music as well, but I'm not quite sure on that. I'm not totally sure. I don't want to, you know, pass on any wrong information, but I think she has a sister that makes music as well. So, I mean, if, you know, is it time to shout out of Houston?
Who?
I don't know. I mean, in terms of rap, I'm lost. I don't know. I mean, I can't really think of anything recent. Do you know who's recent? Like, just like name some names, maybe. I might be able to.
The younger guys, you know, the younger artists. I don't know.
I mean, I used to like Killer Carleon. I don't know if he still makes rap.
He is.
But
all the rappers I know, Houston, the only recent one I can think of is Slim Thug, and I don't know anybody else. I'm lost.
It's OG.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have no idea what Houston new rap is. All this Atlanta,
regional rap is done. I just want to say
that. It is.
It's unfortunate. I mean, it's just the way things are. Like, people aren't trying to come out and attract a local audience anymore. They're not trying to sound like where they're from. They're not trying to tell stories about where they're from, really. It's just, they're appealing to as many people as possible as many times as possible. I think we're not going to get that same hometown feeling that we used to get from listening to E-40, or me or somebody else from LA listening to Ice Cube, or somebody from Texas listening to UGK. It's not going to be that same homespun feeling, because everybody that you get, like I get a lot of submissions from rappers, right? And they're like, oh, I'm from here. You know, from here. I'm like, oh, I never heard of nobody from there. Great. Let me hear it. You know, see what you're talking about. And they send out everybody else.
Right.
I'm like, you're trying to sound like the next man. We already got one of those. You know what I'm saying? So what are you bringing to the table? I mean, you're from a whole different place. Like, it's your opportunity to be a voice for where you're from and to tell that story. You know,
right.
But people miss that opportunity a lot of the time with rap.
They do, The only thing I think of is my favorite rapper from Houston is Scarface. I think he's like my ultimate. I don't know what it was, like, I know back in the day, like, I was, like, always, like, watching video, like, music videos, and his videos was, like, sort of like with Old Dirty Bastard, like, always had some kind of, like, sort of, like, weird, like, dark, like, sort of storytelling to it, and I was always, like, intrigued by his, like, storytelling, even with Ghetto Boys.
It was really dark.
Yeah, right, but I was, like, intrigued by it. Just like I said with Sticky Fingers, that Tangled Eye, it was like bothered me, but I was intrigued at the same time,
because
it was tangled.
Like,
so,
Mind playing tricks on me. That joint used to.
No, the one Smile for Me.
That's arguably a horrorcore song. But I think the one that you're thinking about is Never Seen a Man Cry.
Oh yeah, that's the one. I'm getting it mixed up with Smile for Me.
Yeah,
that's
that
the one that was. Yeah,
Never Seen a Man Cry has that voice in it that's like, you know, what does it say?
Really,
it's like
spooky.
Some like dark demon voice.
And the production too made it scary.
The face I see when I hear that song, or like, what's that song by, from Ohio? That's the song where the Reaper comes. And takes the guy.
White Thugs and Harmony, Crossroads.
You know the guy in the black leather.
Oh yeah, that used to scare me too, because when they killed Uncle Charles, that demon came and his eyes turned black. I was like, yeah, that did scare me. That was a scary video.
I saw somebody make that into a crying Michael Jordan face. Like, I was dying.
What do we do right now? We go to the break. We got another break coming up. We're going to do the topic. We're going to be talking about unpopular opinions about your favorite artists or singers or songs that were out we're going to go from the 60s to present, because I have a whole lot. I got a list here because there's a lot of stuff happening right now. So I thank God I wrote this list down before I got here. But, yeah, we're going to go through this list. We'll go through the topic, unpopular opinions, the songs, artists, and groups when we come back from this break. If Will's ready with that Pinot Grigio, if he puts it down so we can go to break, because where is Will? Did Will leave to go get his drink? Where is he at? Told y'all this is live radio. I can't edit this out, so shout out to people listening to this live here in awkward silence. Will, where are you at, sir? Okay, I guess we keep going, because I have no idea where he went.
Let's keep him moving.
Who's that? Right, I have no idea where he went. This is live radio.
I'm right here. So you need...
Okay, there we go. I know I got my extra stuff going on, but what you got going over there?
Well,
what you got going on?
You know, since I was fired, you know, you excluded me from the conversation, so I figured I could take a break every now and then, you know?
Oh, yeah, you went to get your peanut. I know that's right. Uh-huh. I'm not really in the mind space right now to go back and forth with you, because I'm seeing, seeing double. I don't have the patience. I'm being patient with you right now, so let's keep the show going.
You're keeping patient with me.
Next song and quit being awkward. And
you're being patient with me. Yeah, we will discuss this lawsuit coming up anyway, so don't worry about it. Coming back, the Q League.
The lawsuit is, right. There ain't no lawsuit. That's what the lawsuit is.
system. Don't disturb this groove. Welcome back to the Soul Savvy Show with your host EB, Q Lynn Green, and special guest host Julie. Welcome back.
And Shaka.
Yes.
And Shaka, please forgive us.
Yeah, that's the joint right there. It's crazy because if your dad and them were born like 60s, 70s, then this was your mom and dad's going out music when they went to the club. So all the 80s babies are, I guess, mid 80s, late 80s babies, y'all mama and them used to go out to this music, all this 80s music and stuff. I was just in the mood to play some 80s R&B because I hadn't listened to it a long time, so. I had to really like the system. That song had, I had to hear that song a few times to like it. Cause I initially didn't like that song.
What? That's like a classic, instant classic.
It is, but I used to have to play it. No, I mean, like, I didn't appreciate it when I was younger, cause I was just like, I hate the hook. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of it's time to hang the sign up on the door. I used to hate how he used to sing that. It used to annoy me, but when I got older, like 14, 15, I was like, all right, I like this now. But yeah, I used to didn't like it for a long time, but yeah. We're going to be talking about, unpopular opinions about the people who like, the unpopular opinions about singers, groups, or songs that were popular. I have a whole lot, so I've written them down. We going from the 60s, we going from every genre of music, and, you know, so we going from 60s singers, groups, 70s, 80s, 90s, to present of
well, I can't stay too much longer. Can I get mine off?
Yes.
Yeah. I have to dip out.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, you're just saying, like, general music opinions, like, that aren't popular?
Yeah, like, it's like somebody that was, like, that have, like, success or considered a legend, or they considered to have, like, a classic song, whether if it was one-hit wonder. I don't really count one-hit wonders, but just songs that were, like, real popular or artists or groups that you didn't think were good. And it's just, right. And we can go from 60s, however y'all want to do it. I have mine, if we want to start with, we're going to start with 60. We got enough time to really break this down because I'm going to go all the way back. We're going from, it don't matter what color artist it is, what genre, we're going to go all the way in, and I'm ready. So.
Well, you mind if I kick it off real quick? Because I'm not going to be able to say that.
Yeah, go ahead. Where do you want to kick it off? Go ahead. All right. Go ahead.
I mean, I got like four, but I mean, you can just do whatever. All right. In my opinion, Eminem does not have any classic albums.
The truth.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's how I feel.
Factual.
That's how I feel.
The actual factual.
I've always felt like that. And I'm just like, there no other artist would be allowed to have a song like, "Hi, my name is" on what would be called a classic album. I'm very sorry. Like, I just.
Come on.
I've never been a fan. And I try to see it. You know what I'm saying? And like, I know that he can technically rap. I don't tend to care for his delivery or his content or the energy behind a lot of his music a lot of the time. But I do see that he is technically a very skilled MC. I don't see the product as being as high quality as a lot of people like tout it. And I understand people may have felt a certain way about the music because he was talking about things that, you know, maybe they related to or having feelings that they related to or things like that. But to me, like, I don't see those as being flawless albums or anything like that. I just think it was elevated to a certain point because of groupthink, really. And I don't know. I just don't see the appeal, and you know, for me, a classic album doesn't have any duds. You know what I'm saying? And all that, like, sing-songy, exactly. Like, he had one, like, it was earlier, more popular albums anyway, not that first one, but the ones that he came out with during that period, like, all of them had that kind of, like, circus music kind of theme to them. And I'm like, these are not singles that belong on a classic album. Classic album has good singles, or great singles, and continue to follow that up with good music, not like they're selling, you know, good music with an awful, you know, sing-songy single meant to get, you know, as many people into it as possible. Like, it just wasn't good to me. I just don't think that it should be touted as like this perfect body of work. So that's that.
Right.
I don't know how y'all feel about Eminem.
Eminem, I said before, I think I was on somebody's show they were doing live on Facebook, and I commented, they were talking about Eminem, some song featured with Beyonce or whatever. I was like, I was trash. I always, like, always have a dismissal approach to Eminem's music, like you said. I get he has, like, a talent and ability, both a rhyming ability, but it's just not for me. I said his music is for Caucasian people that said, fuck you, mom, like, at least, like, one or two times. So, like, I feel like that's what his music is for. Like, what? Yeah, you, Karen? Get out of my room, Karen.
All I can do is critique
right,
rap.
That's what he's for. Karen, get out of my room. You're such a bitch. Like, it's for those kids that say that. But, yeah, I can't get with it. It's just not for
me. The next hot take I had was that I don't think that Capadonna gets enough credit.
Who?
Capadonna. I don't think that he gets enough credit from Wu-Tang, like the Wu-Tang affiliate.
Oh, gotcha.
Capadonna. Right.
You know, he came in. Yeah, he came in on the Ice Cream single, you know, and everybody was like, oh, who's this? You know what I'm saying? And he's on that Winter Wars with Ghost, what's it? That's on Ghostface album, I think. Or is it on Raekwon's? And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself later for, like, having to think about this. But
right.
He was on Winter Wars, goddammit. Like, that was one of the, like, iconic verses in all of, like, Wu-Tang. Like, you know what I mean? When he put his phone number in the song, like, that was a classic moment. And then he went ahead and dropped The Pillage, which was his solo album. And that was right after, I believe it was right after or on the cusp of Wu-Tang Forever. And I think that it kind of got overshadowed or people didn't, like, look at it because it was like this off-brand kind of like, you know, he's in the Wu-Tang, but not really. So it was just like, it got kind of like pushed to the side with a lot of the other Wu-affiliated projects that were coming out at the time. But that's really, I've been listening to it like nonstop. Well, definitely not nonstop, but like, I've been listening to it a lot over the past couple of weeks for something I'm writing. And this is a really solid album. It's surprisingly solid in hindsight. Like a lot of it holds up. There's a lot of good features on that joint. And I think it just got overshadowed because, like, people were trying to hear Ray and Ghost. And people were trying to, you know, people, his associations with the Wu were, like, kind of foggy in a way to most people. So I don't think that he really got his shine like he could have got. But even then, since then, he's put out consistent material. And, you know, even recent stuff is not bad. You know what I'm saying? You may not go back to it, but it's not bad. If you like his flow and how he puts things together, then... You know, but yeah, he's always been a favorite of mine. I would try to dress like I'm in high school.
I guess we could break this down. I'm just gonna list off. We're gonna go from era to era. I always felt that way about Eminem. That was actually gonna be my present, like I guess 2000s or whatever, because he can pretty much sum up the 2000s for me because he was so popular then, and I hated it because I hated. Slim Shady, I hated that alter ego. I hated everything about his music whenever he was doing that. It was just terrible to me. I didn't understand why he was, like, being nominated for Oscars. I'm like, this isn't great music. Like,
yeah,
this ain't something I would, like, replay. Like, I feel like you said, like, his replay value of songs is, like, terrible because he's, like, talking about, like, chopping up, like children and ex-wives and stuff. I'm like, I can't bop to this. Like, this isn't... Like, I can't pop to this music, but yeah.
It's,
I go to...
He's so out of touch with me as well.
Exactly.
And, like, the last song, the Walk on Water song, there's, like, a part of the end, because it's, like, this, like, old, like, churchy, like, somebody called it a funeral dirge kind of music. And, you know, like, Beyonce's vocalizing, and he's, like, doing all these, like, angsty raps. And at the end, like, the beat switches in the last 10 seconds, and he's like, something, bitch, I broke stand. And I'm like... You know, like, it's kind of, like, aggressive tone, and I'm like, yeah, you got a lot of Grammys and stuff for Stan, because people that don't fuck with hip-hop at all like Stan. And because
right.
You had Dido on the hook, and because you had Elton John perform it, that had nothing to do with hip-hop. So, like, why are you bringing that shit up? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. I was like, well, that's the one you chose? Like... Stan is a good song. Of the ones he had, that's the one I really look at as, like, that was, like, kind of an important song in hip-hop. But it was just curious to me that he would bring that up now at the end of a song, like, look, like, you know, check my credentials, this is what I did, when it's like your credentials don't really have anything to do with the craft that you're creating within. So, I mean, Stan wasn't good because he was nice at rhyming. It was good because of the story being told and the, I mean.
Right.
Yeah, and the song behind it, the track, the sample used and all that stuff. It was really cool. But it wasn't like.
That's the one that was, no, that wasn't the one that was nominated. I think it was some 8 Mile song that was one for Grammy. I mean, an Oscar.
Yeah, 15 Grammys, so.
Right. Yeah, I don't care nothing about that because he's terrible.
He won 15 Grammys.
Say what?
I think he has 15.
He does? Oh, he probably does.
I wrote something about it last week about his new song. I think I looked it up specifically looking for that number. I think it was 15 total wins, I think. So.
Oh.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It's Wikipedia, so.
Right, exactly. I was going to go 60 singers or songs. I'm just going to get this out the way now and just list them, and then y'all can, like, comment through each era that we go through. 60 singers, I'm just going to get these out the way. Bob Dylan, I don't like him. I don't like Paul McCartney. I don't like, none of those people can sing to me. And none of those songs were good. Like, it was all trippy, like, acid music to me. Like, I tried listening to it, you know, both sober and not sober. I wasn't feeling it. As a matter of fact, 60s music, folk music, period, can go in the trash to me. Like, I know this is a big deal to the Midwest states, you know, all the red states. This music is like solid gold to them. Like, you know, like your family, like if your grandmother or whatever was into 70s, like Al Green, like Al Green, Motown music or whatever, like that's how white people, Caucasian people see like folk music. And I don't know who wrote this song, but somebody that was talking about if we can all get together, what if the world was peaceful and love, like, that song can go in the trash because that shit is terrible. I don't like none of it. And I know that sounds crazy about a peace song because it's about peace and love, but like, fuck that song. That song is terrible. I hate it. Because he's talking through the whole record. What'd you say?
You don't want to imagine all the people.
Yes, that. Whatever, whoever sings that can go in the trash. Is it trash? I hate that song. Yeah, I hate it.
Wow.
I don't like it.
That song can go in the trash.
I don't like it. I'm just saying, I don't like that. If somebody else covered it, I probably like it. But that one, I can't, I don't like it. It's just too mellow. Yeah, I don't like that. That was going to be like my 80s when we get through the era. Like, we're going to go through it. We're going to slow fall. I'm saying that's an unpopular opinion. Right.
Who remade Imagine? Was it like Tracy Spencer or somebody?
I don't remember.
In the
90s? I was talking about the original song.
But in the 80s, it was remade. Because I think I was like, but Imagine is alright. That is an unpopular opinion. I'm going to let that one stay.
Yeah, that one is going to go in the trash. Is there any 60 singers or songs y'all can remember that y'all don't like? Because those are mine. That's all I got. But yeah, Paul McCartney. Okay, he's a legend, songwriter, Beatles slash. He's not my favorite member in Beatles. Like, of course, John Lennon goes before him. Of course, Ringo Starr goes before him, like, all day, every day. Like, he's my least favorite member of the Beatles. Like, if they could, like, X him out, like, period of the Beatles, I'd be cool. Like, if Ringo Starr just wanted to do a drum solo, like, every show, I would go to it, like, just to hear him. Like, I don't want to hear Paul McCartney and his acid tone voice. I don't like it.
But Imagine was John Lennon, correct?
Yeah, it was.
Right. He did. Yeah, he wrote a lot for David Bowie too. I like this song. I'm just saying, and like, I'm talking about Bob Dylan, whoever that is, their voice, I don't like it. Like, it's not necessarily the words I'm focusing on. It's the person's voice that's like driving me crazy when I hear it. Like,
for sure. But I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, really cool lyricists from, like, back in the day that, really back in the day, that, you know, just have weird delivery and stuff like that. A lot of blues artists are that way, too, like, you know?
Right. Yeah, some of that music can go in the trash, too. I can't specify the era of blues music, but it was something about if you hear Knocking on the Headboard, and yeah, that whole song can go in the trash. I don't know who made it. Something about Knocking on the Headboard, it's a blues song. That song can go in the trash because it's terrible. 70s, we can move on to 70s because I don't remember. Yeah, the whole folk music of the 60s can go in the trash because I hate folk music. Like what Rick James said, I'm going to quote him. He said, I need more fire in my rock and more funk in my folk. And that's what I'm talking about because that's kind of wavelength I'm on. He was talking. I got that from his autobiography book. That was like the best thing I read from him. And the Doors.
That whole vein of like acoustic, like.
I love some of it. I'm not a really big fan. Like Bob Dylan, I love A Heart Rain's Gonna Follow. I love that record. I think that's maybe Tambourine Man. That might be another Bob Dylan song. It's just some. I can't say all, but it's just some of it was just too like trippy for me to like really like pay attention to and care about. But it's just like folk music, it ain't got that umph to it like I want it. Like, you know what I mean? It ain't got that, mm-hmm. It's just too, like I feel that's depressed that's when I hear some of that music.
That's the point though. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
that's why I can't get into it.
They're trying to chill, they're trying to lay out in the meadow, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm. I ain't laying out in the meadow. Y'all can pass around the acid somewhere else because I ain't taking it. Y'all be in some other space, but. We get the 70s singers. I think the only one I could think of is Joe Tex. I think Will had mentioned that. Yeah, Joe Tex is terrible. I know that a lot of people have been inspired by him. I think Prince was inspired by, like, him. James Brown, like, he do a lot of microphone tricks. A lot of people were, like, influenced by that with going into funk music. But he did a song called I ain't gonna bump with no big fat woman, and that song is terrible. And I don't care to hear nothing else from Joe Tex after hearing that song because the whole song is terrible. It's just like if you compare it to like this music now with like mumble rap or whatever you would want to call that, it's like the simultaneously the same feeling I get when I hear that music that I can't understand. It's just equally terrible. So yeah, Joe Tex can go in the trash. I try and think of some more 70 singers or songs. What's some songs or singers from the 70s or groups that you didn't like?
I don't know. I have a hard time with like the dates, you know what I'm saying, or when stuff came out. Like, especially if I didn't like it, I'm really not thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, I mean, I respect it for what it was, and, like, I just put it in a different place. Like, I don't like Motown music. I don't like to hear really that Heard It on the Grapevine, like that. Mm. That
that's a popular opinion.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people love those songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
or the Supremes, or the Temptations, like that stuff really. I like Philly Soul, you know what I'm saying? I like stuff that was like, just had a little more oomph to it. I hate to cop out by saying oomph and not really say what it is,
Right. It's because in terms of music, especially like when you think about Motown and you think about Philly, like the Philly sound, the sound of Philadelphia, Motown was like the pop sound. It was like marketed for young America, meaning young white people. Like, we're going to bring everybody in. But the Philly sound was just, this is for us. Like, this is by us, for us. You know, black power, black pride, you know, throw some horns in there. You know, scream on the record. You know, it's a big difference. I'm with you 100% on that. I'm Philly all day. Motown is, I like stuff from Motown. Motown has things that I like, of course. But all in all, it wasn't necessarily all for us. It was trying to be inclusive of everybody else. And I think by doing that, they lost a little bit of that soul.
Yeah,
wow.
I think
you think there was a whole tug of war back then.
Yeah, the Supremes. I wasn't like some of those groups. I didn't really care for like that whole bebop, that book, whatever they called it back then. That kind of
doo-wop.
It all sounded the same. Doo-wop, whatever. I didn't like that. If it was any kind of like doo-wop song with those groups, I didn't like. Now, like, it's different from like the Spinners that were like on Motown. Like, I loved them. Like, that was real soulful. Like, anything I think with Norman Whitfield produced.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He really made, like, Motown music, like, sound, like, he was, like, really into, like, the sound that was happening when funk music was really coming in.
Yeah.
You know, he was
I hate to even put the blanket of like, Motown on it, because I'm sure, there's
with me, I've learned with genres and with like certain sounds, like there's an exception to every rule, like that I've ever tried to come up with for myself. Like there's always an exception. Like I thought I'd never listen to country. Yeah, I like a few country artists. you know, and that changes over time, but like with, I hate to say just Motown, but there were just like certain joints that really everybody loves that I have to go.
Was it Ain't No Mountain High Enough? Whoever did that, I don't like
okay.
that song. That's
you know
the
what?
Song
I
like.
I love Diana Ross's version of that song where she's talking, like that version of the song. I don't like the Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell or the Marvin Gaye and Diana Ross version of Ain't No Mountain. I hate it actually.
I don't like that song, period. But yeah, what's another one? I had it and I just lost it. I Will Survive, I don't like that Gloria Gaynor song, I don't like that. Who's another it's somebody real major that's like probably a staple in the soul singer category in the '70s and I don't like him. I don't like his music at all. I think maybe one song of his I like, but I think it's I got it. Bill Withers. I don't like his music. I don't like him. I don't like him at all.
I feel you.
The one song I like, and it was covered by Cold Blood, the 80s band. It was a 70s band, a funk band, Cold Blood. I told y'all my tongue is doing a wop.
You don't like Ain't No Sunshine?
I love it's that one and what's it called? The one Cold Blood did, it's Kissing My Love. That's the only song they covered. Bill Withers' Kissing My Love, and I think I like their version more than his because it's a lot funkier than his version. But those are the only two songs I like of his. That's it. That's an unpopular opinion because people love Bill Withers, and it's a cat I'm gonna get to when we go to President Singers. That sounds just like he's trying to mimic his career after him, and I hate his voice, and I don't understand why he's popular. When we get to that, we get to President.
You have harbored this hatred for many decades.
Listen, I got a lot to get off my chest with these singers. I've done this on a past show when we talked about worst singers, but this is like particular with like. Unpopular opinions that are like people would be like, if you said, hey, I like this person, you'd be looking at them crazy. Like, that's how I feel like everybody's like doing me right now. I'm like, what? You don't like? But yeah, that's my opinion. We could get to 80s now. I have a whole lot. And I'm trying to figure out if I want to start with groups or singers. I think I'll start with singers and groups first and then go with songs. And I might do it intangible because it's mostly both. Okay, we get this out the way now. Who sings Secret Lover? Is it Atlantic Star? I hate that song.
Same.
I don't like it. I don't like the melody. I don't like the rhythm of it. I don't like it. The melody has to catch me, and if it don't catch me, then I don't like it. I just don't like the song. Is this the same reason for the system?
I love the instrumental.
Don't say it's groove. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like, I hate it. I hate the key it's played in. I don't like I don't like the chorus. I don't like anything about the song. Like, I really don't like that song.
Hey, you guys, it's I've actually got to get out of here. I got a late start with y'all today. I got to actually jet. But this has been hilarious. I mean, you had a very specific decision. I thought we were doing, like, overarching, like, ideas.
Yeah. I have, a lot of unpopular opinions, specifically with 80s music, like, we're going to go in a little bit on 80s, because these are, like treasure songs for some of y'all. What's another one? I don't like, this one is up for debate. I just like the ending. Like, this is I feel like the best part of that song is the ending. I feel like this is unanimous with everybody. I just put it in that list. This is an unpopular opinion, but Orange Juice Jones' Rain is terrible, but the ending is everything because he like ran her for filth like that, and it's like the most outdated song. Like if you want any 80s slang for if you want the song to like kind of blueprint the slang of that era, that's the song because he's like, you a cold busted. Who still says that? Who says cold busted? He's like, I was going to pull a Rambo. Like, what? Who says that?
Nobody
right,
knows what that
means. I
gotta
get you next time, all right?
All right, y'all.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so all right, much.
See. All right, peace. All right, peace out. Yeah, I was like, Orange Juice Jones' reign was like, the best part is the ending. That's it. The best part is the ending. And I was going to play a little bit of it, but that's all I wanted to hear was that ending. But, yeah. What else? Oh, this is a very unpopular opinion right here. And some of y'all, like, virtually probably want to throw a shoe at me. But Luther Vandross, I don't like this song at all.
Please say it's the song I was going to say. Please say it's the song I was going to say.
House is not a home. I don't like that song.
Oh, that's not the song
all.
I was going to say.
That's not. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's a staple
say,
for him. It's his most smash. Yeah.
I like that song. I mean, let me say this.
I love that song.
My favorite version of that song, believe it or not, is from Barbara Streisand. I just want to let everybody know.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. She sings the hell out of that song. But my Luther song is Here and Now. I hate that song. Here and Now.
Yeah, I don't like that song either. It's too slow. Like, I don't like it.
As long as y'all don't say never too much, we good.
Oh, no, no. Never too much is a jam.
Oh, yeah. Never too much is a jam. Well, I love Don't You Know better, way better than that. That's my favorite Luther song is Don't You Know. Yeah, House is Not a Home is too long. Like, it's literally because it's too long, and it's like, he keeps coming back, and keeps stopping. Like, how many, like, we get it, okay? You want your man to come back, you know, home to you. I
wait,
get it. Luther, we get it.
Wait,
it's too long.
Wait,
it's too long.
Wait.
Song.
Wait.
What? Oh, I went too far? Did we go too far?
I can't do this.
I thought I was on the line to where I was supposed to be. I thought that's where we were. Courtney
no,
on the show.
No.
Did I go too far? Okay.
You always go too far.
I thought I was right on the line. I didn't think it was outrageous saying that. Okay, I get it, Luther. I get it. You want your man back. We get it. Like, in the song already. I believed you, like, 2 minutes into the song. Like, ended already. The song is just unnecessary too long. Go ahead.
Tell us who he was singing to.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some more 80s songs. It's a lot of 80s songs that I don't like. And I'm trying to think of some more.
I don't be thinking about stuff that I don't like. I think about the things that I love.
Yeah, but yeah, I just wanted, like, this is like, these are, I just thought of the topic because I was like, I have like a lot of unpopular opinions about songs, and it's like, y'all know y'all have them too, it's just nobody wants to admit it that, because they don't want to shake it.
I'll admit it. How about Prince? A bunch of songs I don't like.
Yeah, as soon as I found his mute button, I thought we're not going to have this on the show. This print. Now, that's an unpopular opinion that can be kept to yourself. Because we ain't going to have this on the show. We ain't going to have no anti-print song. We going to, okay, I guess we get
a bunch of
80s.
What's that, Little Red Corvette? Oh, my
God. I think every musical opinion you have is unpopular. Because, for one,
hold on,
we're not going to forget that you said you didn't like Donna Summer. We're not even going to forget that. So
nope.
Can touch your opinion.
Still don't.
You don't even know, like, good singers.
Like,
first
yeah,
you say
right,
that
right.
about that. Mm-hmm. Then you don't like Tebo Bryson. It's
my
like...
Go ahead,
Julie. See, I told you. You always...
Did I hear him throw shade at Little Red Corvette?
Right.
Yep.
Like,
sure did.
Song.
Sure did.
What the hell is your
problem? People don't understand the
little red. Yeah. Okay. Who gets turned on? Who gets turned on with little red Corvette? Come on, that's a Mickey Mouse song. So
where's
is Prince.
Where's the mute button at? Because I'm about to find it.
Mickey
Go ahead, Julie.
Mickey.
Who else has some 80s songs so we can move on?
Mickey Mouse.
Okay, some 80s
song.
Yeah.
Like, you don't talk about that song. You don't talk about Mary J. Blige. You don't mess with Elder Bard. Like, those are fighting things for me. I'm a fighter. You leave Little Red Corvette alone.
Yep.
I think I have an El DeBar song I don't like. Speaking of, I think I do.
Well, you better keep it to yourself. And if
you
say anything wrong, if you say anything wrong about Mayor Eric and I coming for you, both of us coming for you, just know.
What's the one with, yep, I do. What's the one with, I'm not scared. I'm going
to
say it.
We don't want to be scared. I just want to say
it. With the barge. I ain't afraid to say it. I got a debarge. What's the one with Biggie sampled on, One More Chance? What's that record? I don't like
Wait,
that.
Wait, Stay With Me?
Stay With Me. I don't like that song.
It's a good, that is my favorite debarge song.
Nope, I don't like it.
What?
Nope. That's my popular opinion. I don't like Stay With Me. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the melody. I don't like the entirety of the song. I don't like.
Wow.
That's my unpopular opinion. I told you I got them.
Okay. So, it's unpopular or not. And as much as I enjoyed it in the 80s, I really don't like Madonna. Like, I enjoy her music in the 80s, I think, because of
Right. Madonna. I don't either.
But
I think Take a Bow is the only one I like. And I think it's mostly because it's mostly the producers that save these songs. Like, Babyface. Wrote and produced Take a Bow, and that's the only Madonna song I like.
It's like anybody else could have sang them, and it would have been, I don't know. I'm realizing this as I grow older. But yeah.
Oh.
That's unpopular.
Yeah. Right. Ready for the World. I it's on my head, and I gotta get it out. Ready for the World. I hate the entirety of their music catalog. I hate Oh Sheila. I hate Ready for the World. Love You Down. Whatever that song is called. I hate every bits and pieces of those. Any song from Ready for the World, I hate it. I hate every single one. Because my aunt used to play their music all the time, and that's why I hate it. I hate it to this day. I don't like it. Every time I hear it, it's an instant skip. I hate when Pandora plays it on there. You said what?
That's not only is that an unpopular opinion, that's not normal.
It's not.
It is normal because I don't like it. I hate the melody. I don't like the rhythm. I don't like nothing about it. If you want to go specifics, I can do that. But the entirety of the music catalog, I hate. We can put it all in the trash. And it might not be an unpopular opinion because who buying Ready for the World CDs out here? Who popping that in? Who going to Ready for the World concert? Nobody. So apparently my opinion is kind of credible because what they doing out here. They might be changing, one of the members might change one of my tires or something when I went to get an oil change or something. Like, who knows what they're doing now? I don't. What they do for a living? I don't know. Listen, that's
like
a popular. Ready for the World. I don't like nothing of them. I don't like none of their songs at all. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't like it.
Unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable.
And what about Surface?
Surface looks, is it, don't they just, don't say no tonight? What's that song?
No, that's
Tonight? Is that?
No, Surface does.
Only you can make me. I like that song sometimes. If that song gives me good memories. I like it sometimes, but not all the time. Like, I listen to it like once every blue moon, but that ain't something I would listen to. I gotta be in the mood to listen to that. And it's mostly when I'm feeling, like, nostalgic reasons, because I remember that song as a child, but I don't really rock it like that. It's like hearing a Beyonce song sometimes or, like Taylor Swift. Like, I listen to it, like, occasionally, but it ain't something I would, like, rock, like, every, like, you wouldn't see me, like, hey, I got this in my playlist. Nope. It's not in the playlist, but I'm trying to think of some more. It's some more popular. Climax, I think. Climax, Meeting in Ladies Room, I hate that song.
Oh, no, you crazy.
I don't like that. I'm not going too far. I don't like it.
We need to have a meeting in the ladies' room.
I told you, I got a lot of unpopular opinions. And we still got a good time left, so we ain't got to the 90s yet. I got a whole list of that.
Let me give the 80s a song, because you are being rude.
Let me give some 80s.
Right, I'm being... Go ahead, E.B.
Michael Jackson, Human Nature. I hate that song. I hate it.
What? Now, that's an unpopular opinion because that song is amazing.
Like it.
I love playing that song on the piano.
SWV sample.
I hate it. I hate it.
EB.
Listen, I hate that song.
Oh, what about New Edition? I think New Edition's Popcorn Love, since we on like 80s. I hate Popcorn Love. I like Mr. Telephone Man. It's okay. But most of their pop singles when they were kids, I hate them.
Speaking of New Edition, they performed at Serena's wedding. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah? She had a wedding in New Orleans or something, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's in the, oh, I know this is a pop, I know they'll be hitting daggers at EB. I know, but it's like punching them in the gut when I tell this next one. I love this group, I love this producer, I love his writing, but I don't like this song at all. And I know this is gonna punch EB in the gut when I say this. I know it is, I know it for a fact. Okay, I'm gonna put it out there. In Two Maze,
I knew you were going to say
me
that.
Me and he, I hate that song. I hate the entirety of that song. I hate it.
Say that.
I don't like it at all. I hate it. I hate it.
You're weird.
But I did like how Eric Benet, like, sampled that in his recent album he put out. I liked how he did that with Sunshine. He did a remix to it with Tamia. It was pretty dope. I like that. But other than that, I don't like none of that. And then I want to say Cool in the Gang. Celebration. I hate that song.
I hate it. Okay. Okay.
So
I don't think that one has any.
I have to agree. I agree with that one.
I hate that song.
Dancing in my mama's living room. Slide. So no.
Call Me Bad was 80s. Were they 80s or 90s?
They were 90s.
They were 90s? Okay. We'll get to them in the 90s because I got a whole spill on them and I'll save it. But I think we good with 80s. I'm trying to think of everyone.
I got one.
What?
I don't think Whitney Houston has any classic albums in the 80s.
That's very true. Now, like, the Whitney, right, that's a great point. Because I don't think she does
it. In the 80s?
Yeah, as a whole. I didn't like Whitney until she was into the 2000s when, you know.
When she was dusting off those albums with that cocaine pinky dust. That's what he thought about. Yeah. When she was dusting off, like, when she was doing that.
It's like, I like songs.
She's blowing off, getting them dollar bills ready and them spoons lined up. She's like, let me get the rest of this off here so we can get to it.
No.
He blow the rest
songs.
Of this.
I need to ask this question. So, I'm your baby tonight. I know that was on the cusp. That was the 90s. That's like probably 90s.
Right.
But the Whitney album itself,
I mean,
you don't think that was
I like songs from Whitney, but like in terms of.
That's my favorite one right there.
The entire album.
So the Whitney
I think the Whitney album is the best one.
Is that the one that had the,
Just
the Lonely
Whitney
Talking Again
no
on it?
She even knew how to do that title right. Whitney can't do no wrong. The only wrong Whitney Houston ever did was die.
When she was doing that. When she was blowing them albums off, that's what she's talking about.
If she was doing that white girl, she was doing, Robin? Whatever the late
tonight,
Whitney
Houston
can do no wrong.
I can't breathe.
Oh, I got another unpopular opinion. I got another one.
That's the only wrong she can do. 2012.
Oh,
it never happened. Like, for real. Like,
singles. She was the queen of the singles, but EB has a point with the album because I think maybe that one album.
Even that Whitney album, I think I only like three songs.
The Whitney album.
I can't remember what song that
album was.
I like.
I get so emotional.
I hated that song.
Oh, the harmonies is everything. I disagree with you there, Evie. Those harmonies are everything.
I hate it.
You're still my man.
Hate it.
Oh my God, where do broken hearts go?
Hey, oh, I especially hate it.
No, I got a popular opinion though. This song might hit Evie in the stomach too when I say this.
Oh God.
Lisa and Colt Jam.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
I wonder if I can take you home. I hate
you're
that song.
You're absolutely crazy. That song.
Okay, we'll get off the 80s because I'm just really killing everything. I'm like killing the mood right now. We'll go to the 90s and I have a whole lot. And I'm gonna go off the list because I can't
still
remember.
Talking about Whitney.
I like just the lonely talking to you.
And if that was,
oh,
that was
man.
Okay, right? I just want y'all to know that. I feel some kind of way.
I know you do. I know you feel it all in your chest. I said a whole lot.
Nobody
you know.
Mess with Nippy. Nippy.
He has a beautiful voice.
Now that was, I think that was EB voice. That said that about Whitney. I wasn't going there, but he the one
Wait,
that said
say?
That. About Whitney, that you said you didn't rock with none of her albums. Like, you getting Julie all hyped up. I wouldn't even go on that route.
Not until, like, Your Love Is My Love.
Really? Like, you like that? Why?
Because she was knee-deep in that powder.
Okay.
That's the one. Wasn't that the one with, It's Not Right, But It's Okay? That, listen.
I think so.
That's when she had, like, a slight twitch to her face. Like a slight twitch from that powder. And if you watch the video real good, you will notice.
She was in that powder. Let me tell
hilarious.
You. Hilarious. She was in that powder up to her shoulders on the preacher's wife. Let me tell you.
I know, right? That's we had said on the show that she actually,
okay.
No, it wasn't preacher's
yeah,
wife.
Yeah.
It was way next to her. She had like OD on there.
Oh, baby. That preacher's
okay.
wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she was lit. She was lit off the preacher's wife too. But the one, they said that she,
said
I think her bodyguard said she had OD in Way Next Hill movie.
So she was high the whole time she recorded the preacher's wife.
Right. That's some old Marvin Gaye stuff there, like when he had his preacher coming to pray during the before the songs and then he was doing coke at the same time. Like that's some crazy, that was kind of coke, the level she was on with that. Because Marvin Gaye had like a pastor and coke in the same room. Like that's pretty wild. But yeah, she was on the same thing, on that same wavelength with
Eric.
Eric,
they ratted
so
you get all the soundtracks go to the end of the 90s. I really don't understand.
Now, the
Preacher's
soundtrack is everything. Now, that's her best album right there, is the Preacher's soundtrack.
Which one?
That, the Preacher's wife soundtrack.
I only
soundtrack
know, like, two songs from that soundtrack.
You tripping.
Eric,
you need to
I didn't
that
really
back.
For real,
right now,
I didn't really listen
very
to Whitney. I'm going to be honest. I didn't listen to Whitney.
I'm concerned.
I was obsessed with her live performances. Her live performances were everything.
Okay,
so
I'm your baby tonight. I'm your baby tonight. We about to have a whole discussion about Nippy. I'm your baby tonight.
The moment I saw you.
That album.
That is the 90s. You're actually transitioning well because we got like 7 minutes left to get into the 90s and 2000s and...
So, are we good on I'm Your Baby Tonight?
That's the jam right there. L.A. Reid and Mayface produced the shit out of that song.
So, I'm talking about the whole album.
Oh, yeah. Because isn't All the Man That I Need on there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's the album. Yeah, I love that album.
But she didn't want
that.
So, I'm trying to figure out why.
Oh, shots fired out here. Y'all thought y'all worried about me. EB out here throwing these shots, man.
Eric.
EB throwing these shots, man. Let's get to these 90s real quick because we only got like 6 minutes left.
Oh, my God.
And we might go a little bit over, but I'm going to try to wrap this up before before it's 7:30 Pacific time.
Start with the
90s. Yeah, go ahead.
So my first unpopular opinion of the 90s is SWV,
Wait.
That's
me
being
paid.
You said what?
That's
oh.
Me being paid.
What song?
Since you came for Whitney, I'm coming for Coco.
No, look. Coco.
Oh, you can't come for Coco because Coco is flawless vocally. So you can't, even if the track, you don't like it, you can't say nothing about the vocals.
It's the same.
No, I'm coming for Whitney. I don't think taking a shot at Whitney, but we all know she's the voice.
No,
I think he's talking about the album. You
really
can't rock with him like that. That's
not
really
the voice.
No,
but
listen,
she
no,
what? Are you kidding me?
Whitney got
Evie, you, now we got I'm on Julie's waitlist now because I'm already influenced. So you don't get me riled up saying she ain't the voice. Are you? You gotta be on something. Now we gonna debate this. You already got me riled up now talking about she ain't the voice. Are you kidding me?
That's not
debatable at all. She is the voice. Like this is fact. This ain't. She sung in D-flat. C major chords. High. Tone chord on the piano that none of these singers now, I don't care who, Coco can't sing them, none of them can't sing them high notes she was doing, so don't try it, because I can go there. Go ahead.
Whitney has a real nice voice, you know, for a little yin 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 around the house, you know.
You know what? You know what?